then it has become a permanent exhibit at their school. That's the beauty of it, that students get inspired to create their own art. Polymography and design. This is a carpet that we have at home. And the design on this inspired me to come up with this polynomial graph, an appropriate polynomial equation, and then this, which was inspired by the carpet. And I thought it might be interesting to turn it into a carpet. So made a carpet. In fact, I have the actual carpet, I can show it to you. Here is another polynomial graph based on the same equation. And I thought that would be nice to be turned into a carpet as well. So this is a family picture of the three carpets, the original and the two inspired by it. There are many more carpets to be made. The girl with a secret. Do you know what her secret is? If you turn her upside down, she has an image of herself in her face. Artists and polynomiography. We can connect artists with polynomiography in a way. Does anyone recognize this? Well, the left side is by Klee. The right one is by polynomiography. Everybody, I suppose, recognizes this, Picasso. I'm not comparing myself with him, but I'm just saying that the possibilities are there, and somehow it is amazing that when we deal with polynomial equations that we have only treated them mathematically, that they could give rise to such a vast possible domain of images. Anyone recognizes this? So Luet, and the right one is by polynomiography. So Luet was an algorithmic artist. He would draw things on the wall. And this one, the left is by Klimt, and the right one looks like a fractal kind of an image. Could have very well worked as a dress for the lady in Klimt's painting. This is the left is the right is by polynomiography. The left was it provoked Lillian Schwartz, who will be there tomorrow, to create this image inspired by that. Okay, I was this was summer of 2000, where I was thinking, can I make a U.S. flag using polynomiography? Of course, everybody knows how to make draw a flag. You know, you can put a flag in front of you and you draw the stars. But then I started thinking, well, how do I make stripes? So first, I came up with this. The whole thing took me actually summer of 2000. And then I came up with this, as if the blue is emerging. Then I found a way of finding stars, and I collided that onto this image. And this is a close-up of the star. And then I found this manifold and a different kind of star. So I called these five images evolution of stars and stripes. Endless designs with a single polynomial, acrobats. These are all based on essentially a single formula. This one is here. I call it the origin of death. This is a virtual sculpture based on acrobats, one of the images that I have. I would very much like to see some of these images in stone, as Hieneman does. To whom can polynomiography appeal? Can it appeal to kids? Can it appeal to Hollywood? Can it lead to games? I claim that the answer to all this is yes. This is Ms. Pollard, which is based on a single polynomial equation I discovered. Her lips come from another polynomial equation. And she is very opinionated. She says, just give me a bunch of dots and make Picasso jealous. Because she feels that with a single dots, we can create so many different images based on corresponding polynomial equation. Then three. Snoopy. And this one is called ZT. And he says, is popularization of polynomiality possible? This is my last slide. This afternoon, you will all get a chance to work on this demo software and lab at the lab, both myself and Theodore and Greg, and possibly Lesha and Tanya. Yes?
How many tries did it take you to get the carbon into an equation, a single equation? I mean, how much can you anticipate?
It's a very good question. There are some, you know, as you see some of the images here, remind you of the of fractal. I mean, there are fractal images, in fact. But the reason why I called it polynomiography was not to have a coup d'etat against fractals, but it was because there are many techniques really here. I mean, I can go on about that. I have a book, but there is element of control in creating this. And the carpet that you saw was in fact based on a z cubed minus 2, I took z to the 12 minus 1, okay, and I multiplied that by another equation of the type, except that I rotated z to the, and I changed the radius, and then another one. So I took essentially three polynomials of degree 12 and interlaced these, played with them, and I liked the one that I came up with, and this is really good. My wife now will say that I look like a carpet peeler. Maybe somebody will make me an offer I cannot refuse. So you see, you can design, you can control, you will see that.
You can anticipate. But you can anticipate the visual output.
Absolutely. Exactly. You will learn to anticipate. And there are so many parameters, really, when we are doing this with Irasha and Phil and Ray. So many parameters that we can play with. We really don't want to make it too complex. It would be like a camera with so many knobs. But there is element of control. Yes.
So, The user chooses an initial color scheme, and what are the colors representing that?
Yes, there is a default. We can get a default way of changing, the software by default gives you a particular image, and then you can go on changing that.
So, I understand what you're doing with MoveNet's algorithm, but I don't know what you're putting in. And what the colors are representing.
Okay, well, there's really a lot that can be said about this. That's why I wrote this book called Polynomial Root Finding and Polynomiality. It's about 500 pages. And I still talked about the theory, basically. The algorithm becomes endless. I mean, if you look at, say, even z cubed minus 1, the ordinary way is that you're looking at the basins of attractions, the three colors for the basins of attractions. But even that you could change. And there are parameters that manipulate the Juliosity itself. I had some undergraduates in faculty have their poster presentations if they show up. They have done some manipulation with ZQ minus 1.
Mahmoud, you mentioned only polynomials, but I'm sure you also tried analytic functions.
Yes, yes, we go to analytic functions as well, yes.
And how can you guess the result of such functions?
How can we?
Have you some idea what such functions will show?
Well, then you can, from a theoretical point of view too, there are properties that can be proven for polynomials. And some of them I really don't know if they, you know, how they would work for general analytic functions. But I must tell you that I have used some of the techniques that I learned from polynomiography to, for instance, approximation of pi. I have some formulas, which are new formulas for approximation of pi. I don't know if they're the kind of practical formulas that other Borwines, for instance, or Bailey's would be using. But you can use the same techniques. And one of the images I had was based on that sort of approximation. So you could go on to analytical functions. Yes?
How stable are the images? If you move the points slightly, will the images change?
Sorry, my hearing is...
How stable are these images? If you move the points slightly, stable. The image change readily?
Yeah, well, you know that, you know, dynamical system. So, there is, depends on where you are, you know. Yeah, but if you change your polynomial, in fact, if you take a polynomial and here is what some of the kids did, you know, they take a polynomial and they say, oh, what happens if you change the constant term a little bit? What happens? What happens if you change the coefficients of z squared continuously? What would happen to that? You can get beautiful animations out of that. And you will see continuous changes. You will see the, how Julius's change. We have a pretty good demo. I mean, at this point, we cannot say that it's a full software at this point, but it has a lot of difference. Yes.
Do you get a feel for symmetries and so forth to create a beautiful image, or math, or formulas? Can you invert that and say which mathematical choices create the ugliest images? Or
I think beauty or ugliness is in the minds of the beholder. I mean, let me tell you this, that some of the interesting images I feel I have gotten, you start with a polynomial, usually everybody thinks of polynomials with real coefficients. And this is a big mistake I think people are making, even in education, because even if you are trying to find the zeros of a polynomial with real coefficients, the imaginary the roots are there. They are in another dimension. They are affecting the way algorithm works even on the real line. So, there is an intrinsic symmetry if you take reals because of the conjugacy. The roots, conjugate roots are also.
I'm sorry.
Well, I had two comments. One was what was brought up about...
Can you speak up?
The first comment was following on that question. If you can morph from one picture to another by changing the coefficient.
Yes.
I mean, that was what came up.
Yes, you can.
So I didn't see any of this morphing going on.
I don't have time though.
The other thing is, you began by talking about fundamental operations like addition, subtraction, multiplication. Now you can do all these things with matrices.
Yes.
Now what's attractive about matrices is you're not locked into two dimensions. So you can do sculptures.
Right. Yes, you raised a beautiful question. I know about this also in an email exchange. So why not go on to quaternions? Yes, and that is a beautiful question. I think we can go and get some interesting things, maybe project back into dimension 3. There are lots of open questions. I mean, polynomial root finding is by no means dead as some. It's not a dead subject. It's a very lively subject. Yes.
But you don't need the free property. You don't need to go to the quaternions. You just need the ring.
Right. That's why I said matrix.
Yes.
Matrices probably easiest
yes.
access.
But to prove some of the properties you prove about polynomials, you know, they don't just extend. You have to study them. I believe they're open.
See, with the quaternions, you have a fundamental theorem of algebra, and you like this theorem.
Yes, yes, I like it very much. I will look at quaternions for sure. You have inspired me to look at them. I will.
I know you will.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's leave all the remaining questions for the afternoon session, and let's thank the speaker again.